Live. Welcome, folks, to episode 3736 of the Survival Podcast. And today's episode is Be the Pig and Not the Cow. Some of you have heard me talk about this concept before, but I don't think we've ever dedicated an entire episode to it. Today is Tuesday, September 23rd, 2025. That means this is a Tuesday. As per usual, you will have me alone, just me, just Jack, one bad eye and all. That means if you want to communicate with me today, assuming we don't have any weird shit happen with the comments like did yesterday, because that was really weird. I should have screenshotted before I closed the window, but there was like different services had their comments laying on top of each other. Then something else really weird happened yesterday. Any of you guys that are StreamYard users, I'd love to hear from you if this ever happened to you. Fortunately, I was able to save the day on the audio side by stripping the audio out of a YouTube video of the show yesterday that I stripped off YouTube. When I got done yesterday with the show and I closed it down and ended the stream and I went to my back office in StreamYard, the prepared show, the live stream that I prepared, had moved from upcoming to the other tab where it says past. Clicked on it. Usually there's a little three hash mark thing there and you click on it and it gives you different options. And one is download the video or download audio only. And of course I download audio only and then I throw it into my editing software and I make an episode for you guys and put it out on the audio side. Yesterday, when I got done, everything looked right until I clicked on that little three dots to download it. And there were no freaking options to do so. Did everything the same way. No idea why it happened. And I'm like, oh, man, this could be bad. And I just had to wait for YouTube to finish encoding the episode. And then I was able to strip it off of YouTube. So it worked out. But has anybody ever had that happen that's a StreamYard user? I'd be interested to know. So what are we going to talk about today with this pig cow thing? Do you really want to be a pig or a cow? You know, nobody gets excited. Hey, you're a pig. Oh, gee, thanks, man. Hey, you're a cow. That's kind of worse, isn't it? Well, that's kind of the angle we're coming at today. When we talk about pigs and cows today, we're not talking about literally being the pig or the cow. We're using something that people struggle with in the modern world. They shouldn't. It's called nuance. And we're using, you know, allegories and analogies here to better understand the world. Maybe it's even a form of a modern parable, right? It comes from the concept that pigs and cows are very different as livestock. I don't believe we have any domesticated pigs. I believe we have tame pigs. We have captive pigs who have mostly accepted their captivity, but we don't really have any completely tame pigs. Ask a pig farmer what will happen to you if you fall over into the pigsty. You're going away, right? Or in the words of Cletus from The Simpsons, if anybody tells you a pig will not take off a finger, they's lying. Okay? A pig, to me, is a lot like a lion or a tiger that somebody takes in their home and treats like a house cat. It may be tame. It may like being around you, but in its heart, it is wild. And we have been breeding pigs for more than 1,000 years longer than cows as people for livestock. And we have not fully domesticated the pig. More on that when we get into it. Whereas the cow, we have bred the cow for about 7,000 years, if I remember right. It's like pigs are 8 and cows are 7. And just like the pig, we've made all different shapes and sizes and amounts of hair and all these different reasons we've bred these certain types of cattle. But the cow is truly domesticated. Its obedience, its willingness to be led, its willingness to be milked, etc., is literally at this point into its DNA. That selective breeding for that long for those traits of being accepting of captivity are in the cow. This is why we have like 9 million plus feral pigs in the United States and almost no feral cattle. And the feral cattle we had are kind of feral by happenstance. Like they got out, they couldn't find their way, nobody got them, and then they kind of wander around on some big-ass rangeland and just survive because they don't want to die. But they don't actively try to get away. Now, if they run out of food, they might find their way out of your pasture looking for more food. But I can tell you what's happened here a few times as an example. We look out the window, and there goes like 8 cows walking down our road, like our paved-ass road. And then, you know, like, you go on next door and everybody's talking about it, and then all of a sudden you see a dude on a horse and you see a couple sheriff's deputies on some four-wheelers, and the cows go back down the road to wherever they came from and go back on their pasture. If a sounder of pigs gets out, that shit ain't happening. Those pigs are gone. And give them a couple weeks, a couple months, a couple years to see what happens. They'll make a bunch more pigs. In other words, the pig is not ever fully accepted its captivity. It's always on the lookout for a weakness and a way out. We're going to talk about how that should be more like you than willing acceptance of being on the giant ranch, the giant plantation that the systems of control have set up for you, where you go to a job and it's really more like adult daycare than an actual productive job. More like that in just a minute. We're going to go into this deep today. I'm going to gut check you with some things that you think about freedom today as well. Before we do that, let's go ahead and hear from our sponsors of the day. Sponsor of the day number one today is JM Bullion. You know, I have recommended silver and gold as part of your wealth assurance program for 17 years that you know of, because that's how long I've been on the air, 16 and a half ish years at this point. And that's never changed. And I've recommended about 5% of your net wealth is optimum in precious metals, not 50%, not 500% or whatever crazy leverage scheme you have, but about 5%. It's a good way to have an anchor point and an inflation hedge. It's always been money as long as man has known how to refine it. It will always be money in some way. Is it as good as Bitcoin? Yes and no. It depends on what you're looking for. If you want to touch it, see it, put it in a safe in your floor, it's better. If you want to send it across the world, it's way worse. Either way, it's worth having. So while I recommend stacking sats, I also recommend stacking slabs of silver and or gold or coins. So why JM Bullion? Well, they've supported this show for 13 years now. 13 years, I said that, yes. Okay. They have better pricing than Monex, Atmex, Lear Capital, all those big companies that you see. It's the same silver and gold. They ship free. I can talk directly to the president, and if you're a member of my support brigade, you get a discount. So I don't know if you want to pay more from somebody that doesn't give a shit who you are. Go ahead. Otherwise, you know, get your stuff from JM Bullion. I'll tell you who else cares about who you are. And he really does. Jeff the Berkey Guy Gleason at usaberkeyfilters.com. Another long-term sponsor. He kind of left for a while and then came back. But he's been a sponsor, you know, in and out since, what, 2011? That's kind of a long time at this point. It doesn't sound that long ago, but yeah, think about it. It's a long time, way more than a decade. And he's been working with Berkey for about 20 years. He's one of the top resellers of Berkey in the world, and that means if there's a problem, he can get something done about it, and he's the kind of guy that will. Don't buy your Berkey or your new filters or anything like that from some guy at a gun show that started carrying it last week. Go to the original Jeff the Berkey Guy Gleason at usaberkeyfilters.com. All right, so I have this topic I want to hit on today, but I do want to at least acknowledge something first before we move on that came out. And I'm going to answer this one question real fast because it pertains to a sponsor. Does Berkey filter out F? I'm assuming you mean fluoride. It's from somebody on Rumble. It will, but you have to buy a second set of filters. Berkey filters sit in the top unit sticking up. If you want to filter fluoride, the fluoride filters go down because Berkey is specifically designed not to filter minerals. And if you start filtering fluoride, you're filtering minerals. That's your zero water stuff. And minerals in water are a good thing. So if you have city water that's fluorinated, you want it defluorinated, you need to get the second set of filters. All right. So again, I want to go on to talk of health, right? I said something would happen yesterday, and boy, did it. So I knew that the Orange Man and RFK Jr. were going to come out with a big announcement about causes of autism today. And I thought it would be directly vaccine related. It turned out not to be. It turned out that their announcement is that Tylenol might be, and that is a very fucking important word that people do not want to use because nuance has no place in modern society, especially with the mentally ill left, might be a causal factor in autism. And as an abundant precaution, this is what the recommendations that came out actually were. No Tylenol for babies when they are given vaccines. Not no Tylenol for babies. If you have, take your kid for a vaccine and they have a fever from the vaccine, use something other than Tylenol to address the fever. Okay? MMR should be given as three separate shots because this does have a vaccine component in it. And I've always been for that. Anyway, I've never been for combination vaccines because if you do have a reaction, and they do happen, how do you know which vaccine the child had a reaction to? So you can take appropriate measures in the future, whatever that is. Label Tylenol should not be used in pregnancy except for emergency. Well, what if a pregnant woman has a fever? There's other things that reduce fever. And unless it's a really high fever, you don't need to do it. And if it's an emergency and Tylenol is the only thing, then it would be an emergency. So except for, liberals can't handle it. Remove aluminum from vaccines. Okay. I thought they said they already did that. Spread shots over 4 to 5 visits. Again, I've always been for this because when reactions happen and they do, how do you know which one caused it? You see what I'm saying? Like this is common sense. The hepatitis B vaccine only recommended for age 12 and up. I've always asked, why does your newborn baby need a hepatitis B vaccine? Are they going to go out and start, using intravenous drugs or being a prostitute? No, then, but what people have always said is, but what if mom is an intravenous drug user or prostitute? We usually know that, and I would be okay with that exception being made, but the mass vaccination of one-day-old babies for a disease they have no real risk of is stupid. So that's fine anyway. And then this validated autism moms who know vaccines are responsible for their child's autism. The person that made this meme, I would change the phraseology there to we should, because what they actually said, we need to listen to these mothers who are telling us what they have witnessed. Because I would tell you, being an open-minded person, I do believe there are people with children who are not quite right, whether it's autism or Asperger's or something, that maybe had nothing to do with it. But they've thrown in their lot here. We've also had people, though, that absolutely, like, I've got video of my kid 2 days before this kid was vaccinated being happy, being engaging, using words, walking, like functioning. And this is the next day after it. And the kid doesn't speak and doesn't look at people and can barely function. We need to listen to the women, right? This is not something you should be getting upset by. But you know what leftists are doing? Here, this is the left is doing the fucking meme in real life. Right now, they're doing the meme in real life. So for those of you who are on the audio-only side listening to this, I've got a picture of a meme from the COVID days on the screen. And Trump is saying, I am pro-oxygen, sweet, beautiful oxygen. And there's a liberal Karen with a plastic bag over her face. By the way, nobody put that bag over her face. That probably was actually her mitigation to COVID's. But she's in the meme suffocating herself because Trump's pro-oxygen. This is what I said would happen. I told you yesterday, it will not matter what they come out with. It will not matter what they say. The left will immediately oppose it to the nth degree because it must be bad and it must be wrong because Trump. And that is how the liberal mind works today. Anything Trump said is an immediate snapback. You can do what you want with this, by the way. No one's taking anything away from you. But this is what I found interesting. And we'll get into the pig-cow discussion. Pigs wouldn't just do what they were told, but cattle will, right? You don't have to follow those guidelines. They're guidelines. See, it is typical that people who are open to discussion, when they come to a conclusion, they say, these are my recommendations. The left is big on, these are my requirements. And the left is so accustomed to anything that comes from government being taken as a requirement, whether it is or not, it must be a requirement. So they think something's been taken away from them. So in rebellion, which actually proves that it's a, nobody's actually taken anything from me. Some of these retards last night were live streaming themselves chugging liquid Tylenol. I ain't heard of any of them dead yet, but it could take up to 72 hours on a severe Tylenol overdose for full hepatic failure. You know what hepatic means? Your liver. You know why they call it a liver? Because you need it to live. Liver. Yeah? So one of these people may have already seriously injured and or ended their life to prove Trump wrong. Do with that as you will. And you know what? You know what the way I was a few weeks ago? I would feel bad for those people. Guess what? I don't. I might feel bad for their parents, but I don't feel bad for them. You make such a dumbass, stupid thing. Dirty Dan says, GTFO. You should know what that means, right? Dude, no way. And then he, yes way. Yes way. Yes, they're doing it. They ate fucking Tide Pods like 6 years ago. Why is this a stretch? Anyway, I mean, at least you're supposed to use Tylenol internally. Anyway, let's get on to this. So the cow pig metaphor, right? This actually, I have to give some props to my old man. I remember him telling me somewhere in my teens during one of our few actual deep talks that we really did have. It was not very common, actually. I didn't have the greatest childhood, but occasionally we did connect. And I remember him telling me, and I thought he was crazy because I was like 15 or 16 years old. He said the goal of the people in power is the full domestication of the man. And he really meant humans. You know, he wasn't politically correct. Not a lot of, you know, boomer Vietnam veterans were big on the political correctness back then anyway. And so he meant just people, like to domesticate us. And what he meant was the way that we have domesticated so many animals. The dog, you open the door, the dog runs out, it chases some stuff around, it takes a shit in the woods, but it comes right back in and lays down in the house. It makes no attempt to escape. You know, you could say be the cat, not the dog, because the cat's more likely to fuck off somewhere else. But even they come back. But pigs tend not. There are people that have pig systems, and the pigs are so trained that they're going to get fed every night. They do come home. But even in those systems, some of those little pigs still say, you know what, I need to turn reactions off. I'm not going to say anything more about that. But I don't remember how to do it now. Oh, there it is. Okay. Reactions are off, so that won't happen again. Anyway, some of those pigs are still like, I wonder if I can get out of here. And if they find wild pigs to hook up with, that is it. They're done. They're out the door. Like when you have your homies with you and you're planning your escape together, right? Like the Great Escape and Steve McQueen on a motorcycle, it's more likely to actually happen. But the cow won't, right? The cow is very trainable because it's already fully domesticated. You ever see anybody milk a sow? Okay. To make my point, go try to milk a sow that has piglets. See how that works out for you. Get down on her level and start pulling on some pig titties and see how it works out for you. I'm not saying that some extreme example it couldn't be done, but it's not done. Or a cow, you can lead the cow in, she'll chew her cud while you milk her. Okay? A cow can be kept on a ranch without even using a fence once they're trained. What I mean by this is one thing you can do is at a gate that you want to leave open at all times and you want to be able to drive in and out, but you don't want the cattle getting out. They have these things called cattle guards. They're pipes and they're spaced, you know, a few inches apart as they go horizontal. And if that cow tries to walk on there, its foot falls in and it hurts. But once the cow knows what a cattle guard is, it will walk right up to it and look at it and be like, I ain't doing that. And I've even seen places where they have like a piece of pavement down and they paint black stripes, black and white stripes, and the cow sees the pattern and says, fuck that shit, I know what that is, and thinks it's going to, and it won't go out. If you train cattle to electrofencing and they see that wire going, after they've been hit a couple times by it, they're like, I'm never touching that again. And very seldom does an electric fencing fail and the cattle gets out. You can literally put a piece of mule tape across there and it looks at it and goes, I ain't touching that. When you do pigs, you can condition them largely the same way. You The way you do pigs is you take like four 16 by 16 hog panels and you make a temporary fence. You put them in there, one of their little piglets, and you string the wire around and you put a charger that's going to throw that little pig on its back when it gets hit because it's going to get hit so hard. And you put it right at his snout level, and a little piggy walks up there, and bam, and it goes, oh, shit, no way, man, I ain't doing that. And you keep them in there for a few weeks before you move them out on pasture, and you're rotating pasture with them, okay? And that pig looks at that shit and says, uh-uh. And you go to talk to your little piggies that you've kind of trained that I'm the food god, and they'll walk right up, and they look at you like, I ain't touching that. But every once in a while, that pig kind of like, I ain't putting my nose on it, but just like you, like, you see that fence and you're not sure and you're like, I don't hear it pop. Oh, okay, I can walk through the fence. That pig tests the fence. And God help you, if a bunch of weeds or something grow up on that wire and it wasn't a hot enough charger to burn them off and it shorts out or a battery fails and that pig goes, hey, wait a minute. Gone. And all the other pigs are like, hey, Wilbur got out. Let's go, boys. And they're gone. Happens all the time. And once they leave, they go do pig things. They stop worrying about the rancher. They stop worrying about the herd. They go out, and to be blunt, they eat, they fight, and they fornicate and make more baby pigs. That's all they do. That's their thing. They look for places to eat, to sleep, to be pigs. And they're happy being pigs. And they pretty much don't, you know, they're certain they'll kill baby deers. Just sure they will. And so, and you kill adult deers, right? And they do their pig thing. They're an omnivore. They're both a predator and a grazer and a scavenger. And so they go do pig things. And if we disappeared, they would be fine. They can even handle being predated upon by natural predators, and they'll still thrive. Some of them will get killed. That's part of being an animal in the wild. And they are much happier free than captive. And I don't care if you start with a freaking state fair pink pig. That pig will get the hell out, and it will breed with other ferals, and its babies will look more like a Russian boar than a state fair pig. Right, we all know this is true, because if it wasn't true, there wouldn't be feral pigs all over the place. Yeah? Okay? The cow is compliant, herdable, and easy to manage. There was a time when cowboys, after the Civil War, used to go down to around San Antonio, actually more toward like the Kerrville area, and there were wild cattle left after the Civil War down there everywhere. And if you drove a cattle from that point into, like, you could just go get them. Like, they've been generations of them, and they were wild, but they didn't go. They just hung out. They only went where they had to find something to eat and to drink. That was it. And you could just, even with them being not touched for 5 years by humans, dudes could get on horses and go drive them where they wanted them to go. And if you drove them into San Antonio and sold one there, you got about a dollar. Now, remember, a dollar was an ounce of silver, but you got about a dollar. If you drove them up to Fort Worth, which is several hundred miles, you could get $5 for one, alive, unprocessed, just here's a cow. Now, this is average because you pay different rates for different sizes, but that's average price, $5. So by moving them from San Antonio to Fort Worth, you get $5. Then they eventually put a railroad in from Fort Worth to Kansas City, and the price went up and almost doubled because now the cattle could be loaded on a car and moved. You ever hear a story like that involves pigs? Here's what we're going to do, boys. We're going to get us on some horses and get our lassos and get Cookie to make us dinner. We're going to go out there on the range. We're going to round us up 1,000 pigs and drive them from San Antonio to Fort Worth. Oh, by the way, they drove them all the way up to Kansas City at times before the railroad went in. Now, do you think, you remember, it was Ross Perot's company, I think, that did the Super Bowl commercial back in the late 90s or early 2000s, EDS it was, where the Cowboys were rounding up house cats. And like the Cowboys like rolling up a ball of yarn, and the one's like all tore up from cat scratches. He's got the cat on his horse, and he's taking him across the water, and the cats are – it's that ridiculous, isn't it? Yes, I know. There are some situations we've trained pigs to like follow along with early explorers and all, but the cows, you can round them up and drive them 1,000 miles. You ain't doing it with pigs. The pig will escape. Understand, tame and domesticated are not the same thing, as an idiot every year or two will find out when a lion or a tiger or panther eats their face off. Okay? Now, the pigs are smart. They're always testing the fence, and they're always that one step from going feral. Yeah? I mean, we know this is, again, we know this is true. Humans, though, is my dad right or was he crazy? I mean, my dad's legit crazy today. He's actually in an institution against his will, legit mentally ill. So that opens the possibility. Maybe back in the 80s, he was a little off too. But sometimes crazy people are really good at figuring out stuff that not crazy people don't see. So when my dad said their goal was actually to domesticate us, was he at least on the right track? I kind of feel like he was. Because we're trained like cattle. School, jobs, regulations. What do they do to you as a child if you go outside of what they want the herd to do? They punish you. In other words, in some way, we don't do a lot of paddling anymore, but in some way they cause you pain and discomfort, just like that wire, right? Get up when you're told to, move where you're told to, go where you're told to, do what you're told to. When I tell you the answer is B, you say the answer is B. You don't explain to me how the answer could be C. I'm not interested in that. I want compliance. Everything in our life is compliance. Our jobs are regulated into compliance mode. Now, there are jobs that are thinking jobs, real thinking jobs, not pretend thinking jobs. There are captains of industry, and this is a very small minority of them, though. We run jobs still to a large degree on time clocks, two breaks, and a lunch, and, you know, 2 weeks of paid vacation a year. Very clear guardrails and regulations and controls, and there is discomfort for disobedience. You can miss a promotion. You can not get your raise. You can get fired. You can get demoted. Now, I'm not saying that none of those things have any utility. I'm just saying that's how they're used. And if they were only used that way in the workplace, that'd be one thing. But do we not condition children? Have we not, since the late 1800s, when the Prussian system of education was adopted by industrialists and dropped into the United States, have we not started that training in kindergarten? And we have. We have. It's more important in kindergarten to teach kids obedience than see spot run. The first grade teacher can take over the reading. What you need is kids that show up when they're supposed to, sit down when they're supposed to, and shut up when they're supposed to. And I ain't even saying it was by design in the beginning. I'm saying that over time people looked at it and went, wait a minute. We can improve this model. Because to teach kids, you put 20 kids in a room together, you have to have some level of obedience and good behavior, but boy, haven't we transformed it into something that looks a lot like that little pig that we stick in that 16 by 16 wired up set of hog panels to train them. Hey, if you go outside, it's going to hurt. And by the way, early on, we used physical pain a lot more in controlling children. We really, and I don't think that was good either. I ain't saying that there's not places where you might not deserve having your ass whooped. I'm personally not for it, but I can understand the utility of it. I'm saying that it wasn't that long ago that I can tell you I saw kids, for instance, in second grade, who teachers called up to the front of the room and slapped the shit out of their hands with a ruler because they made the horrible mistake of not putting their name on the top of their paper. I'm not okay with that. And if you are, by the way, I will punch you in the fucking mouth, just to be clear, if I see you treat a kid that way. over something that stupid. Like, I'll stay open to some of this corporal punishment shit, but that kind of shit, I will punch you right in the fucking mouth. And I'm dead serious when I say this. Sometimes I say stuff like this. I don't have it planned. It's not scripted. And people think I'm kidding. If you would hit a child of 6 years of age with a ruler on the hand, and I mean fucking hard, as a grown-ass adult because they failed to put their name on a piece of paper, I want you to get as far the fuck away from me and my community as you possibly fucking can. All right? Now let's get back to the topic. But I'm dead serious about it. I don't want anything to do with you if you're that person. What we have now is comfortable captivity or dangerous freedom. That's our real choice. See, they have done a lot to make the choice to allow domestication comfortable. If you do what we say, the way we tell you to do it all the time, and if you're a good little piggy and you show up on time all the time, and I'm big on time, right? But we've created this conditioned model where anybody that rebels, any form of renegade, any form of independent thought is punished. And I'll tell you when I want you to think. Have you ever heard a boss say that before? I'll tell you when to think. Right now, I just need you to obey me. Now, you have to understand that usually the guy telling you that, some middle manager himself, he's nothing but a higher level piece of livestock on the farm. All animals are equal, but some are more equal than others. Okay? Yeah? He's just a little higher up in the pecking order. He's got a little bit nicer pasture than you, but he actually has a hell of a lot more oversight than you because they gave him a bigger pasture to wander on. It's shit rolling downhill for the old cliche. That's all that's going on there. He's not in charge of shit in reality. He might think he is, but he's not. And the guy in charge of him probably isn't really in charge of anything either. In a giant company, I mean thousands of employees, there's a small number of people that are really in charge. There's a very small, they call them a board of directors, and then you've got some people that are on some C-level that maybe are not on the board directly. You fit the people that actually control a company with 5,000 people, it's probably less than 50. It's probably more akin to 20. And all the people below that think they're in charge of something, they're not. They could be gone that quick. Even some of the people up in that control group, if one of the guys that's a little higher than them decides he's got to go, he'll call a vote, tell everybody, you know how you're voting, right? And you're out. You're out. So that's all everybody's fighting for anyway in our society is, I want the best pasture I can get based on my lot in life the way I was born. It's exactly how we manage livestock. Okay? The consequence of freedom is danger. Let's look at a different animal right now. Let's look at a lion. We got two different lions. Lion A is a young male lion. He was born on the Serengeti. He lives on the Serengeti. He's in the wild. He's never known a day inside a cage, and he never will. He will grow up. His father will dote on him, will play with him. His mother will protect him. The entire pride will protect him until he starts to look like a real young man, at which time he will be told as nicely as a lion can tell another lion, get the fuck out. He alone, or maybe with one of his brothers or cousins, will go out on their own on the Serengeti. They will not have the strength of a pride. They'll only have a couple of them. They'll have to go out and find their way into or create a new pride of their own. They will have to become men in the lion world without the support of the pride. They're thrown out basically as teenagers, and they become men on their own and group together. Eventually, they will form a pride, and then they will take over the role of protector and defender of that pride, up to the point of giving their own life to do it. Eventually, they will grow old. They will wither. The pride will no longer have use for them. Some new young males will come in and chase them out, and they will go die a horrible, withering death and be eaten by vultures. But they will live as a lion their entire life. Lion B is born at the Fort Worth Zoo. He too will be doted on, taken care of, bottle fed, somewhat trained. He will live with other lions. He will be fed steak his entire life. He will live much longer than his Lion A counterpart on the Serengeti. If he gets sick, somebody will give him medicine or treatment. If he gets a bad tooth, they'll put him to sleep and fix him like a dentist would you. Is he really a lion? Or is he a plaything to be looked at? Which one do you want to be? I mean, some of these zoos are pretty good. Yeah. They think about the animal to a great deal of a degree, and they realize the animal needs enrichment, is what they call it. So they do something like take a tire and stuff it full of ground meat and roll it out there, and the lions have to dig it out instead of just being fed, right? Enrichment, yeah, like a job that doesn't really matter. I mean, we're going to get to that here really, really soon. But what I want to go first is, let's go back to the pig and the cow. Anybody out there in a live feed, just answer this question with your, if you know it, answer it, or just if you don't, answer it with your basic instinct. I know a bunch of you are, like, you have a different tab open, you're not actively engaged. I want you, as many people as possible, to answer this question. Which animal is more intelligent? If we just measured innate intelligence from the ability to figure things out, you give it some sort of problem, has to work through the problem. Is the pig more intelligent or the cow? Just put pig or cow in the live feed for me right now, if you could, while I go on, right? There's first person says pig. That's Jesse says pig. So intelligence means planning escape, right? The ability to plan is a form of intelligence. The ability to think past right now in this moment is a form of intelligence. My dog, Charlie, for a dog, was smart, right? I mean, if compared to other smart dogs, this dog had a ability to game things out ahead of time that I've actually never, and I know other dogs do it. I've never known a dog in real life with this case. Here's an example. He used to go into the pantry and grab a can of dog food and then take his giant pit bull jaws. And I'm talking like a soup can of dog food, not some, like light thing. He would smash a full on like Campbell's soup can of dog food and eat it. And you'd find this gross slime on the carpet and this mashed can with dog teeth holes in it and tore up just enough to lick. I don't know how he did it without hurting himself. And it's pretty much overwhelming. Everybody's saying the pig's smarter here than the cow. I see one cow come in yet, right? Okay. Now, we started locking the pantry up, but then we put this new door on the pantry. It's like a I don't know what you call it. It looks like a shelf. It looks like a hidden door. Like, you can't tell it's a door, and you push the shelf open, and there's a big walk-in pantry back there. Anybody came in the house, looked at it, would think it's just a wall. Of course, the dog knows better, and it doesn't lock. So we would leave, and he started pushing it open when we were gone. So we started stacking shit in front of it so he couldn't do that anymore. So we leave one day, and we come back, and I go in the bedroom, and there's a smashed can and a big gooey stain on the carpet, and the dog's on the freaking couch sleeping, doesn't give a shit because he knows he got away with it. And I said, he must have got in the pantry. And Dorothy says, how? And I said, because of this is what he did. And she goes, there's nothing moved. There's nothing moved. That freaking dog knew we were leaving. While we were getting ready to leave, he snuck in there while the door was open before we propped up the stuff on it, took a can into the bedroom and hid it somewhere, waited for us to leave, and then ate it. Okay, that's intelligence. That's thinking ahead more than one step. Again, dogs can do this. I've never seen one do it at that level other than him. None of the ones I have now, none of the ones I had in the past. That is, pigs are that wicked smart. Pigs are always thinking, what is my next move? And they're thinking after that, what is my next move? Now, how far they go, I'm not saying they can play chess well or anything, but they are way smarter than a cow. You ask anybody that's worked with cattle for a long time, they use two main words to describe them, stupid and dangerous. You ask anybody who's dealt with pigs for a long time, and they use two words to describe them, smart and dangerous. Which one do you want to be, smart and dangerous or stupid and dangerous? You're a human. You're dangerous. Humans are dangerous. We do all kinds of shit that's dangerous to other people and to ourselves. But you can be smart and dangerous or stupid and dangerous. It's up to you. You want to be the pig or the cow. Now, let's move into jobs. Jobs have become largely what I refer to now as adult daycare. Now, I'm not saying every job is useless. I'm just saying a lot of them are. And let me explain what I mean by useless. There may be some regulation or rule somewhere that a box needs to be ticked by having somebody that does the thing. And if you took that person out of that job and that didn't happen, that company would get fined and you'd say, well, that means there's a reason for the job. No, that means they made a reason for the job. And this really does go back to 1971. You go back to the 1960s, and everybody talks about the economics shift that most families that were, you know, had a couple kids and were married, mom stayed home or she worked part-time. And if she really worked much, it was after the kids were old enough to really, you know, like maybe the youngest is now like 14 and in high school. And she took a job maybe because, hey, it would help us with our retirement. And she was bored once the kids were not there all the time, right? And a lot has been made of the economics of it. Like back then, economically that worked, and now economically it doesn't. I agree. But there's something that everybody leaves out. That means about half the people that work today relative to the total population in 1965 did not work. And guess what happened? Society functioned. I can't, other than we've had technological innovation and things like that, I can't think of anything society has really gained from a true productivity standpoint because we put more people to work. What does that mean? That means, and it is nothing about men and women. It's just body count. That means about half the people working didn't work 50 years ago. Obviously, the people change. They've aged. A lot of them would be old now. I don't mean it that way. I mean, relative to population, the percentage of people with jobs is roughly double what it was 50 years ago. Which means half of the people that have jobs, we don't need them. And again, you can always go to what the fuck happened or WTF happened in 1971.com. And you can look at things like how many doctors there are per 100,000 people, and the number of doctors per 100,000 people from 1970 till today has roughly doubled. So it's a 100% increase. The number of administrators, so doctors and nurses doubled, right? The number of administrators in healthcare went up 3,700%. Let me say that again. Doctors and nurses doubled, a 100% gain in 50 years. Administrators in the same space grew by 3,700%. How can you possibly tell me that all of these people are necessary for society to function? Yes, they're necessary because the government says so. Yes, they're necessary to avoid the insurance company paying out the claim that it doesn't want to pay. Yes, they're necessary for the hospital to make the insurance company pay the claim. But before we had all this regulation and printed money, none of those people exist. People went to the hospital. People got taken care of. Well, they get more advanced care now, but who gives it to them? Doctors and nurses give them more advanced care, not administrators. That's a whole group of people. I'm sure we could get by with half of them. That would be a growth of what, 1,750%, something like that? Right? Like, surely we could get, let's look at another example. Elon Musk buys Twitter, reduces headcount by a legitimate 80%, nothing breaks. Nothing stops. You can hate Elon Musk, you can love Elon Musk, it's irrelevant. It is irrelevant. This company had over 7,500 people that were dropped on their ass out the door, and I'm sure all were like, oh, it's going to go to shit now, and no one in the end cared. The end product remained the same or actually got better, according to most people. And not just about removing censorship, like the performance of the site is actually better than it was. Not a lot, but a little bit, and it does things it never did before. How the hell were those 7,500 jobs necessary? They were not. Companies do not exist to give you a job, except that they do in our society. So what we've done is we've created a system built on fiat money, fake printed money, that gives everybody something to do so that they are spending their energy doing something that either advances the goals of industry in the state or at least doesn't get in the way of those things. Keep them busy. Keep them busy, right? It's not just bread and circuses. It's bread and circuses and enrichment. A lot of jobs are nothing but adult daycare enrichment. They stuff the tire full of meat and make you pull the meat out. They could have just gave you the meat and you could have went off and done something else. You're not a freaking lion in a zoo, except they're treating you like one. Because the goal is your domestication, because domestic animals are compliant. Truly domesticated animals follow their training to the letter. They do not object. They do what they're supposed to. They step into the milking stall when it's time to be milked, and they step into the killing stall when it's time to get a bolt in the head. That's what they want from you. I'm asking you, do you want that for yourself? Do you want that for yourself? Or do you want something else? Do you want to be the cow or do you want to be the pig? That is your choice. And what does enrichment versus real productivity make you think of? If you think of sci-fi movies for the last 30 years, let's say. What does that sound like? You get a bunch of people expending a bunch of energy so that the people in charge can get what they want. And the people that are expending the energy think they're doing something meaningful, but largely they're doing nothing. They're largely doing nothing. Maybe they are, I don't know, what runs this iPhone? A battery? There it is. Chris has it. The Matrix. Did you think The Matrix was really about a dystopian future? What was the year The Matrix was set in as to the timeline of the simulation? Does anybody know the year? Can somebody tell me the year so I don't like just leak it? Does anybody know what year was the simulation? Not what year did the occurrences happen. When the computers built the simulation to keep 1997 is what Mick says. That's close, and you might be right. I always thought it was 1989. I remember Agent Smith telling Neo that it was the peak of human civilization. Hilux Radio says, no, it was not 2025. It was 1989. Maybe Mick's right with 1999 or 1997. It was something in that late 90s period. That's when humans were at our peak of cutthroat business and everything else and opulence, and people were genuinely happy. And what did they also say? Do you remember what Agent Smith tells Neo? We tried to make it a paradise for you people. We tried to make it where nobody needed anything. We tried to make it where it was just perfect, and you rejected it. You had to have a struggle. You had to have a fight so that you would believe that it was real. Do you think that was really about AI taking over and making you a battery? Do you think that's what that movie was really about? Or do you think it was about right here, right now, in the time that we were in? I think it was released in 89, and it was based on 89 because of that. Somebody could fact check that for me. I'd appreciate it. But I can tell Hilux Radio 100% it was not based on the in the year 2025. Now, that may have been the timeline of the resistance. I think it was later than that, though. Okay? But it was 1990-something. That the simulation was based on. And if you look at the simulation, it looks like the 90s, right? And maybe the simulation of the 90s wouldn't be so bad right now, because the simulation of the 2025 is pretty shitty, if you ask me. But that's what it is. We are now batteries in the Matrix. Do you think this is anything new for sci-fi? Or like the Matrix is the only example. Did anybody here ever watch Black Mirror? I think it was the second episode of the first season where everybody's on the bikes pedaling to generate electricity. And you had to watch the commercials and you could save up your funds. And if you did, you could apply to get on a show like similar to American Idol and you could get out and become wealthy, whatever that meant. Otherwise, you were just in there. And the whole thing looks like it's like, you know, a few hundred, few thousand people sentenced to this for some reason. And at the end, when they pull back, it's millions and millions and millions and millions of people. And even all the people that were watching the American Idol show type thing, they're all on a bike too. Come on. Oh, John says I was right. It was 1999. That's what I thought. Yeah, it was based on 1999, the simulation of the Matrix. It's the same thing. Your job is to contribute in some way to the whole. And not the whole that is the Earth and Gaia, right? And the universe and the purpose of man. To the goal and agenda of the people that actually run the world. And those people are the people that control the money. They're the computers in the Matrix. They're the little panel of people making a decision, pretending to be Simon Cowell and Randy Jackman or whatever in Black Mirror. It's the same thing. The year of real life was $21.99, David says. I would buy that as advanced as some of the tech was. But yeah, it wasn't about $21.99, though, was it? It was about right now, right here, what's really being done with people. Because you can't do a movie that's too literal because people won't accept it. Huh? You have to use symbology. You have to create a struggle for people to accept it. You have to give them enrichment. Yeah? Right? You have to have adult daycare. So how do you break out of this? I'm going to let you guys know. This is one chapter in my new book, and it's a chapter I just finished last week. I'm now working on the next chapter, which is 8 in that book. But I have come up with in the new book methods for implementing each law that wraps up the chapter along with a synopsis, like a cliff notes of the chapter. And the one I came up with for this one is the herd method. Since we're trying to break out of the herd, let's use herd as an acronym for breaking out. And these are the steps of breaking out. First is the H in herd stands for habits. You have to break the mold, question the routine, build your own rules. The habits are habits of comfort. I get up every day. I turn off the alarm clock. I make the coffee. I get the kids ready. I put them on the school bus. I get in the car. I drive my mobile metal coffin for 45 minutes to work. I do everything my boss tells me. My primary goal at work is to get my stuff done in such a way that my boss never hears my name in a negative way from his boss. If I can pull that off every day, I'll be all right. And if every once in a while my boss's boss uses my name in a good way with my boss, I'm even better off. And then at the end of the day, I clock out and I go home. I stop for gas. I get a six-pack of beer or whatever. And I go home and I just stay on with it. It's not terrible. And almost everybody that breaks out starts their life on the ranch. Very few of us are born into entrepreneurial families where dad and mom teach us to be entrepreneurs from birth. We go to homeschool or whatever. Even if we go to school, we're guided as we do so. And by the time we're 18 years old, our parents are sitting down with us teaching us about real estate or tax strategies or business development. That happens. And God bless you. You probably don't even listen to me if it did to you because you're too busy going out and taking over the world. And maybe you can build a life where you'll be able to do this with your kids. But I'm going to tell you, 18-year-olds have a tendency to not listen to mom and dad, even when they have a good path with them and they have to learn on their own. And then they come back, right? Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. Yeah? Right? There's truth in a lot of things other than just one place to gather your truth. So you have to break the habits. You have to be willing to make your own rules. You have to find your way out. You have to be looking. And that leads us to the next thing in herd, escape. Escape. To escape a system, you must first be honest with yourself that you are captive. Or there's no reason to. What are you escaping? What are you escaping if you're not captive? Well, nothing, right? If you're an alcoholic, what is the first step to ceasing your destructive behavior? Because they say you can never cure alcoholism. But what do you have to do first? If you're a drug addict, what do you have to do first? You have to admit it. That's why the 12-step thing with Alcoholics Anonymous, right? Hi, my name's Bill, and I'm an alcoholic. Hi, Bill, right? You have to admit your problem. So to escape, you must first realize you're captive. And you have to look at the means by which your captivity is enforced. And you realize almost instantly the primary means is fear. And fear does not necessarily mean that it's false fear. Sometimes it's real fear. When that pig looks at those two wires and goes, I haven't tested the wires in a long time. Tom and Wilbur won't test the wires. I couldn't tuck Finn into doing it. So I guess I have to, shit, damn it, that hurts, right? It's not that the fear isn't real. It can hurt. You know what happens, though, every once in a while? One of those pigs is just smart enough to look at that wire and go, you know what? When I test it, it hurts. And it's on, but I'm looking at it. And I'm thinking, if I back my little pig ass up as far as I can and I run my pig ass at that wire as hard as I can, it will hurt. But I think it'll break. And once it breaks, fuck it. And I'll tell you what knows how to break shit. And every pig farmer will tell you is pigs know how to break shit. Anybody out here in my audience right now, my live stream, that has actually managed pigs, you tell these people listening to me how pigs break shit. They break all kinds of shit. They are experts at breaking shit. But the fear's real. Quitting your job is not always a good idea if you don't know what you're going to do next. If that pig charges through that wire and it's a great big wilderness out there full of oak trees and mast, and it's got time to figure out what to do with its new freedom and find a sounder to become part of, that's a good day to break out. If the farmer put him right up against a cliff and if he breaks that wire, he's going to plummet his pig ass into oblivion, probably not the right time to break out. If while he's sitting there looking out at everything, there's a great big old pack of coyotes that are going, it's not the time to break out. The escape has to be planned with proper timing. And while you're in the pig farm, you need to gain from it. When I was in the pig farm, you know, when I worked as a regional vice president of sales for Fluke Networks, I had gotten up to where I had like a 10-acre beautiful pasture to myself, and I had like 35 other pigs that had to do what I said. I was a pretty happy senior slave on the plantation. Yeah, that's what I was. But I wasn't really free. It was just better. But it was part of a plan to eventually not be on the farm anymore. And I didn't even know what that meant yet. You know, I had other things I had to do, but while I was there, I learned how to do, you know, calculations on business models. I learned how distribution systems worked. And I don't mean network distribution. I mean distributorships, which helped me later in life. I learned what COGS were, what ARPU was. I learned how to manage a team. I learned how to deal with people that did not perform well in a way that didn't make them cry, at least all the time, and either improved them or made them leave. And I learned how to really encourage top producers to do even better. I learned the sales process at a complete new level. I learned how to form contracts with OEM manufacturers. And in all of my jobs, I learned things that I held on to. Some were not really that useful going forward, but even the knowledge themselves that they existed, even when I did other things, had value. So you need to be planning your escape and the timing of your escape, but you also need to be gaining as much as you can from your captivity while you're in there. Don't see it as all bad and only bad. Scout for weak points. Embrace risk. Design your breach. And make sure the breach leads somewhere that's not instant death, like bankruptcy. I've said this for years. Not one of you bitches out there better ever go to your spouse and say, I went and quit my job today because Jack said I deserve to be free, and now I'm free. And I don't have any plan. I don't know what I'm going to do. We have no savings, but it'll be okay, because I never said that. Plan your escape tactically. Think ahead multiple steps. But you have to always be looking for it, and you have to always be looking for the other side of the wires to what's available. Because people say, I just wish I had an opportunity. There's opportunities are just flying past them every day that they don't see because their head's down doing what they're supposed to do instead of doing what they should be doing for themselves. So escape. Embrace risk, design your breach. Then we have reversion. The most dangerous time for the escaping pig is the time between him getting out of the wire and finding his new sounder, his new community, and getting away. Because what does the rancher want to do when the pig or the cow or any of his livestock get outside the wire? Put your ass back in. Right? Plenty of you, you know, you think of Greg Judy. What does Greg Judy do when a sheep jumps over the fence? He shoots it instantly so it doesn't teach the other sheep. But he's got like herds of 2,700 animals plus and multiple herds. So that's just table meat. It's a simple solution from a simple man that simply works, right? But many of you, right, you have like a small herd of hare sheep, you know, that you want to slaughter six a year for your own table and sell four or five of them and manage your herd. And if you lose one, that hurts. So you put them back inside. Now, I ain't saying you're wrong. I ain't saying Greg's wrong. Both of you have your own reasons for it. I'm trying to make you understand. When you escape, people want to put you back in. Now, it's not usually your employer. Sometimes you were so good at what you did that your employer never thought you would leave. And when you leave, after a little while of trying to replace you and it not working out, I've had the phone call. Have you ever thought about coming back? Because we can talk about why ever you left or whatever. But that's not usual, right? You know, that's not usual. Life is not like a movie, and it doesn't happen that frequently. No, what happens is your well-meaning friends and families who are still part of herds of their own, and they see you off being feral, they think that's dangerous for you. And they start saying things like, man, I know you weren't happy where you were, and I know you're trying to make this new thing of yours work, but I know somebody who's looking for people, and they could give you a job, and it maybe pays a little bit better than you have. That's tempting. But that's another wire you're going back inside of. And you understand that these are like layers of freedom. And when you initially break out, the ability to put you back inside has to do with how many layers you've breached. So imagine now you're the pig and you've got, you know, a 20th of an acre paddock that you're on that's what you're wired in, and you jailbreak it. But then you realize as you start trying to get out and you circumnavigate your next containment, now you're on 5 acres, and there's also hot wire. And so you break out again. And then you realize this is a 150-acre ranch, and it's perimeter fenced. And now I'm feral. And if they can't get me back in the wire, they're going to Greg Judy my ass with a 3006, okay? Right? They're going to give the command in Swahili from Used Enough Gun by Robert Rourke, tow a 3006, boom, pig meat. I got to get the fuck out of here. So you keep looking for that breach, and you find the wilderness. And yes, hunters may get you. Predators may get you. Other pigs will want to fight you. It's dirty. It's messy. It's hard. It's all on you. And it's hard to find a new sounder. It's hard to become a new member of a community of people like you. But you have to work through and find it. And the entire time, you have to be looking over your shoulder and realizing there's a desire to go back in the matrix. Remember, what's his name? Cypher? Was it Cypher was the bad guy? The traitor? I know this isn't really eating this beautiful, perfectly cooked, rare steak. I know this isn't real, but I don't give a shit. That's always there trying to pull you back. But once you've tasted freedom, you really can't go back. Let's keep the animal analogy going on a little back, right? Have you ever raised chickens in a tractor? They're pretty happy in a tractor. You know, you're talking about a fairly large cage, basically. You put them in, like you take them out of the brooder when they're little and they're still pretty small, and you put them in there and you move it every day. And every time you move it, they're happy, and they do chicken things. You know, if there's young roosters, maybe they spar fight a little bit. The hens peck around. But when you move them to new ground, they like, oh, yeah, baby, let's go. There's a bug there. I'm going to do that. I'm going to eat that. I'm going to scratch that. I'm going to take a shit over there. I'm going to be a chicken. It's kind of hot right now. I'm going to sit in the shade. It's kind of cold right now. I'm going to go fan my wings out and lay in the sun. This is life as a chicken. I'm good to go. You ever try to take chickens that were free range, put them in a tractor, even temporarily? Do you know what they do? They just sit there. They're like, I don't know what I'm doing in here. This is bullshit. I don't want to be in here. And they mope. Eventually, they'll get hungry enough that they'll, just like putting somebody in a jail cell. You put somebody in a jail cell, it's never been in a jail cell. Initially, they just kind of close in. Eventually, they adapt to their captivity, but all they ever want now is back out. If you're born into it, you don't know you're captive. And most of us were born in fact, every one of us was born into captivity. Even the freest among us in life, we were born into captivity. You don't believe me? Yeah, what would happen if when you were, the day you were born, your parents said, it's not right to keep this child captive. Let's set him free and put him out in the woods. You would have died. The higher level the animal, the more in captivity you're born into. Snakes, you usually hatch out of an egg and go do snake things right away. Some snakes actually have live babies. Most snakes lay eggs or nowhere near them when they hatch. A snake's a very low, reptiles overall, very low form of life intellectually. So they don't need a lot of captivity to become functional. A baby rattlesnake will bite the shit out of you and envenomate you. Like minutes after it gets out of the egg, it knows how to be a snake. You look at like a baby chicken, it needs some things from the captivity of its mother, warmth and things like that to stay dry. But overall, a chicken gets up, it's not even like a nesting bird where they have to like eat and then regurgitate. Baby chicken starts eating the day it's born if there's food around. It can function. The higher you go in animals, the more captivity they endure before they're set free. Humans being the highest level animals, we take about 18 years on average before we're really set free. If we were ferals back in the 80s at 14, 15, 12, right? But you see what I'm saying? We're all born into some level of captivity. So we have to find our freedom. And as we find it, there's always that temptation. Life was just easier. Even the Hebrews wandering the desert with Moses at one point said, at least with Pharaoh, we were fed and had homes. Yeah. See, there's nothing new under the sun, Mercutio. There really isn't. So we have to resist being pulled back in. We have to celebrate freedom, and we have to find our sounder, not rejoin the herd. Then we need to design. Why are we doing this in the first place? We're not trying to get out of the off the ranch to get onto somebody else's ranch and follow somebody else's rules. We have to define what freedom is for us. I've always said this. If you like having a job, that's fine as long as you know all this and you've chosen it. And you still create your own freedom within it and outside of it in your life. Right? You don't live and breathe company man if you really understand this. You see, a job is a job. I do the job. I go home. You're on your own. If you're the guy that was like I was young, where you work your brains out, you give everything, you give 100%, and you still know this, and I did, you're doing it as a means to an end. I'm advancing as far as I can. I'm learning as much as I can. And as soon as I can't earn or learn more, I'm the fuck out of here somewhere else doing it somewhere else. Because my ultimate goal is the wilderness. I'm breaking out of wires in layers. Or I accept this captivity as it is, and I'm creating my own. One way or another, you have to get to the design. Design and define your own wilderness. Build your own system and never settle for less than what it is you want to design your life. You create your own pasture that you're going to live on. You build your own sounder. You build your own pride as the headline. Or why are you doing this? If you're going to let somebody define it for you, then you're not designing it. You're living someone else's design. So habit, escape, reversion, design, the herd method of getting out. If you want more, when the book comes out, it goes more into the means by which to do it. I can only do so much in a podcast. But I'll also tell you this. My teaching on the podcast and my writing have always followed the concept of principles over technique. Like all the techniques, all the tactics are just examples that you choose and pick from when it's time. If I'm teaching you to build an aquaponics system, there's only so many ways to do ebb and flow. You have a timed pump, you have a siphon. That's pretty much the two. And I can give you install part A into part B, hook it up this way, take a pump with this much power, plug it into some sort of power source, create a redundancy in it, and now you have an aquapon. Put fish in it, and there you go. Like, I can paint by numbers a system like that. I can't paint by numbers your fucking life in this system because it wouldn't be real. Putting it another way, take anybody that's in the live stream right now, and I have the power of Star Trek, and I teleport you right next to me. And I have the power of time travel, so then I move us forward in time to about 8:30 tonight. And we go out in my backyard, and we stand with our arms touching each other, our shoulders shoulder to shoulder, and we both look at the sky to the west. And we watch the sunset at the exact same time from as close together as our heads can be and our visual acuity can be. And you and I see different sunsets. No, we don't. We see different sunsets. When you watch the sunset, you tend to think about the majesty of the world, and you tend to think about tomorrow and yesterday. And my tomorrow and yesterday are different than yours. The way you will see that sunset, even standing next to me, so close that our shoulders are in contact with each other, is different. That one moment in time is a hell of a lot less personal than what you do with the rest of your fucking life. So how can I tell you what to design? How can I tell you how to live it and be genuine in any way, care about you in any way, promise you anything if I'm not willing to state that at that moment you must design your life your way? Very few people will ever tell you that, because you have to be a pig in this metaphor to think that way. You can't be part of a herd and think that way. Johnny, go to school, get good grades, and do what you're told. It's not even bad advice. It's only bad advice because it ceases there. It stops there. We tell children they can be anything they want when they grow up. One day, son, you can grow up and be president of the United States if you want to. The kid becomes 17 years old. He's incredibly gifted in music, and he says, I want a career in music. And we say, oh, no, Johnny, you need a more reliable choice in your career. And we do it today. It was one thing we did in 1975 when you had to go kiss ass to some producer somewhere and beg and hope that you were picked. Today, Johnny could start a YouTube channel, and in a few years, if he's actually good at what he does and he comes up with the right angle, he can make more money than most doctors. Ask me how I know. Even though I don't do music, I do podcasting. I still make more money than most doctors. Now, not surgeons. You know, not a cardiothoracic surgeon. General practitioner doctors, average salary, I've looked it up, I make more money than they do. And I work a hell of a lot less. And I had to put a hell of a lot less into it, but I have my own angle. I define what I do. I want you to define what you do. So Johnny, I would tell Johnny, hey, man, let me show you some things some musicians are doing. I've been sharing this dude. I can't even think of his name right now. I feel bad. I should give him some props. Maybe I'll try to do it next week or something on a variety show. But this one guy I follow on Facebook and Instagram is where he really is, and it comes over to Facebook. He does little short videos, and they're like a third of the song. I know what he's doing. This dude's a piano player, like a Billy Joel-level piano musician. He could be working in any kind of a piano bar anywhere he wanted right now. He could probably be on cruise ships doing it. He's that good. But this is what he does. He'll take a song that's like a pop song, like Straight Up by Paula Abdul, and he'll make it slow and more of like a pop rock ballad. And you'll listen to that song, and you'll go, shit, I never heard that song ever. Because Paula was dancing around like a fucking cheerleader in the 80s, and all I did was look at her tits and her butt. I never heard the words to that song. It was so chipper. I never actually understood it. And you listen to this guy, you go, crap, I'd buy a freaking download of that guy playing that song right now for $1 if I could. They'll turn around and do it with a Metallica song. He'll turn around and do it with a Def Leppard song. And I'm like, damn, this guy's talented. And all these dudes that are doing these remixes right now, you know what they eventually do? They put together a download EP of like, you know, 20 songs that they remixed and redid. And if you sell that for $10, you make $9 after you pay PayPal or Stripe or whoever. And if you do it through the record company and you sell it for $10, you make $2. Johnny can be a musician if he's actually good. And there's no harm in him trying. So we just told this kid for 18 fucking years, you can be anything you want to be. And he says, this is what I want to be. And we tell him, you can't be that. In the words of Cat Stevens from the song Fathers and Sons, from the time that I could talk, I was ordered to listen. That's the fucked up world we bring our children up in. We need to teach freedom as a core value, not as an homage to the state, because that's what we do. Freedom and liberty, except for you and me and everybody else. Freedom for the whole world except America. Fuck us. We'll do what we're told. Bullshit. Rage against the machine became rage on behalf of the machine, right? We grew up with, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me to do. And the same people that told us that are now telling us to do what we're told to do. Because I didn't really mean it. It's just what they told me to say. And when they gave me my big ass check. And I was part of the machine the whole time. We just reenact it over and over again in little soliloquies everywhere. And we do it in our own fucking head. We tell ourselves, oh no, not him, not you. Oh, he can do that, but not you. Fuck that shit. You can do anything you want. Now, there's limits. If you're going to go into the music thing I just said, you better actually be able to play an instrument and have a good voice. I could probably learn the instrument part. I'll have a voice. Anybody's heard me sing karaoke knows it. Wouldn't matter. I can't do it. You have to have an innate talent. But I find this, the things we're passionate for, we have innate talents for. There's things we're interested in. We go play with it. And we go, I don't care. But the things we're actually got an innate talent for, when we start doing that, we feel in the zone, they call it, right? Everybody's ever been in sports, you've had that moment you were in the zone, right? Any skilled game, you had that moment you were in the zone. I used to play darts in dart leagues, and I was okay. For those who know anything about darts, I was like a 24 handicap. That's a pretty damn good dart player. But there were times when that bullseye or that trip 20, it looked like it was this big, man. It looked like it, and I couldn't, like, was like standing on the line and throwing that dart. It was like I was walking up and nailing that thing into the wall like a nail gun. And then it was gone. When you find something you have any of those in the zone moments for more than once or twice, you have an innate talent. It's up to you to develop it and to do something with it. Design, define what it is you want. Escaping from the hurt is a process. Bigger pastures until the time of the full wilderness. But you have to start with the end in mind. What do I want? You know, my next chapter in the book, I won't tell you what the law is, but there's a point where I start breaking down the four motivations for taking a job. And one of those motivations is where most people start. I need a job. I need money. And these people will give me one. Do you think anybody decides I'm going to go work for Burger King when I'm 16 years old because I want a career at Burger King? I mean, there are people that figure out, like, once they get there, wait a minute, I'm learning the back end of a business here. I can start a restaurant now. Or, oh shit, like I can get a, like you talk to like the guy, not the manager, like somehow they get in touch with the guy that actually started the store. And he's like, yeah, I have a franchise and I invested money and you go, I don't have my, oh, you can save up a little bit of money. You can go borrow it on a business loan. And they find a mentor. There's a guy in our community, in our TSP community, that retired a multimillionaire. And at one time, he owned 6 McDonald's stores. It's kind of sort of how he started. So there's people that take that shitty job and it becomes that. But in general, most people, that first reason for taking a job, I need a job, they'll give me a job. As we become more skilled and in demand, we move into the second reason. This is the job that pays the best for the least objectionable work. That's like the next tier. And the tier above that is, and I'm learning a lot. Sometimes you can get that job that teaches you a lot, like I talked about with my job with Fluke. So you learn so many things you didn't know before, and you move up in pay. And sometimes to get to that third tier of job, you have to first move down in pay. I've done both. When I went into my first real sales management position, that was the job before Fluke, I worked for a company called Garrett. We sold carrier class Ethernet equipment, which is a bunch of gobbledygook, but it meant something in the 90s. And I learned how to manage a territory. I learned how to do OEM deals. I learned enough that when the opportunity came to go to work for Fluke, even without the college degree they said I needed, they hired me anyway because I had the skill set. And I went up in pay, and I went up in status. And eventually, when I wanted to switch into the world of marketing, I had learned so much about marketing, doing things for myself along the way, and testing the wire, building websites, making additional money. Instead of taking a second job, one time in my life, I was putting in optical fiber networks, and I was building CATV systems on the side. Because I wanted more money. They were both learn jobs, but they were also dog jobs that would hire me, and I needed money. But eventually I had enough money, enough reserves, enough lifestyle design that I was able to, like, honey, we're going to take a pay cut here, but I'm going to learn new things. And she said, okay. And I went from making almost 200 grand a year to making 45. But I only had to do it for a year. And for a year, it was like going to college, but the way college is supposed to be. I was surrounded by people that eat shit and did marketing 24 hours a day. It was all they did. It was like going to a boot camp for marketing in the real world. And I quickly became one of the best there. And then I moved on. I met Neil, and I started building companies with him, using all of those things put together. But I had to take that step back. So that's a third reason for what you can learn. So it's, I need money. I can earn more money doing least objectionable things. I can learn more. And the fourth level of a job. Very few people ever find a job like this. I love what I do so much. If money was no object, I would do this every day anyway. If you can find somebody to work for you and you can create a job like that from them, the next question you will have is, where can I get a cloning machine and get 10 of these people? But it's very rare that you'll find one, and it's very rare that that person will find that job. I now do the fourth type of reason for work, but it's not a job. I would do what I do every day. Maybe I would do a little bit less, right? If money was, if somebody just gave me $100 million right now, maybe I would do the show 3 days a week or 2 days a week, but I would do what I do now one way or another. I might get, it might approach it differently, but teaching others, helping others, and building community in awakening minds to you don't have to fucking accept what they told you you have to accept. That's where I am happiest. If it's not with a fishing rod or a rifle or a bow and arrow in my hands, if it's outside of that, then it's this. When I see somebody for the first time at an event, for instance, I see their eyes go, oh, that's payday. The money is a means to an end, but that's the payday. When I get an email, I built this because you said I couldn't. Son of a bitch, I'm doing better than you, Jack. Your student has become your teacher. Fuck yeah, keep going. Show me where you can go from here. When I had a guy that wanted to come on the show and talk about the $500,000 side hustle, that was payday. That was payday. And when I get an email from somebody and I see their kids picking food out of their garden, it's just as good. This is what I want to do. I had to break all the wires. I had to get all the way outside. I had to design my own pasture. And I'm telling you this because if you want to go to that fourth level, you'll probably have to as well. It's a process. Bigger pastures, more freedom, and till the wilderness, and then design the wilderness your own way. It's your choice how far you go. Freedom must be defined by you. It cannot be a system. It cannot be anybody else. It can't be anything else. I can't define freedom for you. That's why I'm at my core. That's why I'm an anarcho-libertarian. Because I know I can't go around spouting out words like freedom and liberty and equal opportunity and blah, 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 and then tell you what to do with it. Of all the hypocrisy in the world, to me, it's the most contemptible hypocrisy to promise freedom and then define it on the other side of action after you promised it. Freedom has to be and do as thou wilt and harm none. That is my only restriction on anybody as to what they do with their freedom is to not harm others. to follow the principle of non-aggression. If somebody over there is doing something you don't like, but they're not making you do it with them, and they're not hurting somebody else while they do it, and you don't like it, this is what you can do about it, Karen. Shut the fuck up and go do what you want. See, the reason we're so quick to tell other people what they should do with what we call their freedom is because we're not fucking free, and in our hearts and souls, we fucking know it. We're a pig trapped in a cage and we can't get out, so we start wanting to tell the other pigs what to do with their cage. Bullshit. It's total contemptible bullshit, and it's anti-human. This is not what we were born to do. This is not who we are as a species. This is the role we have been assigned by the psychopaths that run society. The ones that want everything contained, that want everything controlled, that want to put a number and a restriction and a regulation on anything that they find. The people that say your dog needs a license to be a fucking dog. Now, I think it's good that your dog is identifiable and it can be gotten back to you. My dogs are microchipped. They have little tags that say who they are and what they are. But where I live, there's no requirement for a dog's license, so they don't have one. My dogs don't need a license to be a dog where I live. But if I live 2 miles down the fucking road, my dog needs a license. At least according, now, plenty of people don't have it, but they need a license to exist. And it has to be renewed, which means more money for the state. The people that will do that, they can't tell you what freedom is. They shouldn't be allowed to use the word freedom. People that would do that, I think they should have an implant that when they use the words like freedom and liberty, there's like a thing up in their ass, and it's like on settings like a shock collar for a dog, and the first time they do it that day, it's like a mild correction. And every time they do it that day forward, it hurts more. The number goes up. And then maybe it resets once a week or something. Right? Just to keep them in check, right? You're not allowed to use those words because you don't know what they mean. One of the proudest moments I ever had with my son was my grandson when he was pretty young and in that defiant toddler stage. I don't even remember what he said, but he said something. And my son sat down and talked to him man to man. And he told me, little kid, he got down on one knee like I used to do with him. I could see myself in him. He said, you don't use that word because you don't even know what that word means. I was so fucking proud. Well, there's a lot of people that need that conversation about words like freedom and independence and liberty because they're using a word they do not understand in the least fucking bit. Don't join that herd. Find your freedom. Improve your life. Don't worry about what other people do with their freedom unless it hurts you or somebody else, and go on with your fucking life and design your pasture and stop blaming other people for your shitty design or your choice to remain captive, because that's the people that have the time and the boredom to go bother others. Why do you think they give you adult daycare? So you'll leave them alone and fight with each other. Come on, lots of movies were made about it. The Matrix, Black Mirror, it's all the same. All you had to do was get off the bike and leave the place. But what would I do? That is for you to decide. Real quick, let me see. I didn't really see any questions coming in. And again, when I'm by myself, I'm bad at this. But a couple of people threw me some super chats, and they always self-star. And the first one is Richard, who said, I'll buy Jack some tacos de lingua with $10. And that's because Jake was getting, different Jake than the one I usually talk about, but Jake was getting hammered because he was saying he didn't want tacos de lingua. I said, that's because he never had any. He's not very adventurous. But thank you, Richard, for that. And then Anarchy, $7.77. WTF happened in 1971 is that I was six. Yeah, I wasn't born yet. You got me by a couple of years, bro. I was born in 72. It had already happened. But it really, if you've never looked at that website, I strongly encourage you to go to WTFHappened1971.com and just look at the results of literally everything that's a problem in society since 71. Now, I'm not saying we didn't have those problems prior to 71. I'm saying look at where the inflection point is in the exponential curve. Every single one, it happens in the same spot. Why? Why? Including regulations. Why? Right? This is my last little thought for you. All right. You were taught in school, if you're my age, you probably heard, this is how a bill becomes a law on afternoon television, right? And they sung you a song and shit. Your legislators, they get elected to do the will of the people, and then they draft legislation, it gets debated, and then they vote on it, and if it passes, it goes to the president, and he signs it, it becomes law. But that's how we create our law, because this is a democracy. Yeah, you know, the amount of regulations has grown by 325% since 1971 when they started printing money. You know what printing money makes it easier to do? Lobby. The corporations in our society spend literal billions of dollars a year lobbying Congress to pass regulations and laws. And this is repeated then in every state legislature at the state level to the tune collectively also of billions of dollars. It was something like $257 million were spent in Texas alone last year lobbying the state legislature, who only goes in session once every 2 years, by the way. All right? And they still managed to spend $250 million on the Texas legislature to get them to pass laws. Do companies pay for things, then not get what they wanted out of paying for them and then keep paying for them? Because the amount of money spent on all of this shit goes up every year. Last I checked, when corporations spend money on something, they only do that because they're getting what they want. And if they keep spending more and more money, they must be getting more and more of what they want. You think you're free? You think your vote means dick all? When your congressman wouldn't know how to draft legislation if it bit him in the ass, and some lobbyist just walks up to him and says, this is what we want done, put your name on it, we'll get you on the committees you need to be on, submit it. That's what happens. All that regulatory shit, those corporations love it. It's not to restrict them. It's to restrict their competitors. It's to restrict the pig that breaks out of the wire who's an entrepreneur. But you don't have to settle for it. You can do something about it. Break out in phases, design your own pasture, follow the herd method. And when my next book comes out, buy that. If you haven't bought my first book yet, buy that one. It's a good place to start. It is Laws of Life by Jack Spirko. Ditch the System, Design Your Life, of course, available on Amazon. And while we're talking about things you can pick up, I will just let you know that if you like to listen to music and audiobooks and podcasts on your mobile devices, then Bluetooth headphones are a great way to go, or Bluetooth earpieces. Those Anchor Soundcore V20i open-ear headphones, item of the day from yesterday, they're the item of the day today as well. And the reason that I'm bringing them back around 2 days in a row is y'all, 80 people in this audience bought a set of these yesterday. 80 people. Some people bought more than one. I just see total orders. I don't see who you are with Amazon. That's one of the problems with being an affiliate. You can't really build a customer base that you know through Amazon because they guard all that information. But I can see how many. And 80 people, 80 separate orders, some for two or more of these. Just why? Because they're badass for less than $25 if you're a Prime member. You know, they retail for $50. They're probably equivalent to something that retails for $150 from Apple. But the little ear hook, I love that. I heard from a bunch of y'all, too, that say you have the same problem I do. Every time you're out working out, lifting weights, walking, doing work, and listening to something, if you have the kind that just go in your ear without the over-ear loops, they fall out. And tell me that they do not always fall out at the worst possible time in the worst possible situation. Under a lawnmower, into a duck pool, into a pond, into the mud, right? Or like you feel it falling out, and that's when your hands are covered in shit, and there's mosquitoes all over your face, and this thing's like just about, you're like, right? I can't fix the stuff on your hands. I can't fix the mosquito bite in your face. But I can fix the earphones. Check these things out. Again, they're made by Anchor. Anchor is one of my favorite companies in the world. They stand behind everything they do. And I think it was Mick sent me an email yesterday. Let me check so I give credit to the right. Mick Burke, who I know he doesn't mind his last name going out there because he knows that not everybody, you know, there's more than one of them, you know. But Mick said, it looks like your favorite bargain electronics company has a Powerwall alternative. I put in a thing. It says there's no installers in my area. I can't get a price on you, but Anchor's now making a competitor to the Tesla Powerwall. That's going to be an interesting little disruptive thing. But Anchor is just a good company to do business with overall. I'm glad to see them thriving. I hope they stay a value brand with top quality product. When I started talking about Anchor, you could only get them on Amazon. It was the only place you could find them. Now they're in Costco, right? They're in. I saw them in electronic stores at airports recently. They've really come into their own. Hopefully they'll keep that core value and that core quality because, man, it is solid now. There's 229 Mick. He said, I'll let you know if I hear back. I guess he put in for a quote too. I misread your email. I thought this was what it said, but it didn't, Mick. But check them out. Check these headphones out, $2,375 or something like that. I bought a second set of them in case I lose them or lose my charging case like my last set before you Hooligans bought them out. I really do think they're being discontinued. With that, hey, guys, thank you for tuning in today. Tomorrow, we're bringing back former expert council member but always friend of the community, Ken Berry. Dr. Ken Berry will be on tomorrow talking about some new things, his new book and some other stuff. We haven't had Ken on the show for a while. Ken doesn't like to fill out forms, but he's important now. He's got admin assistants that do it for him because I really don't let – I don't care who you are. I don't let you on the air if you don't fill out a form. The guest form is open, by the way, but it's probably going to get closed down. I think my wife told me we just booked our latest applicant on the 29th of October. I think that was somewhere out there almost to November. So I'm probably going to close down registrations again really, really soon. If you want to be on the air and you have something to talk about and you want to fill out the form, I would do that. Because when I do open it up, I imagine the next time after I close and open it up again, we'll book straight through the end of the year. And then we'll be talking 2026. Take care, guys. Tune in for Ken tomorrow. Tune in for the expert council just show on Thursday. Run you round. They said you should have a house the American way. Dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.